today. We'll be sharing a Thanksgiving message, certainly with the holiday a few days away. Seems most appropriate that we look at a great Thanksgiving praise, a psalm that was written by David in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, for a message entitled, Give Thanks to the Lord. Give Thanks to the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16 is a very important chapter in the life of Israel because of what happens in 1 Chronicles 15, the chapter before. Because in that chapter, the Ark of the Covenant is finally being brought back to the holy city of Jerusalem. And in fact, it's brought into the city with great fanfare. They are rejoicing that it's back where it belongs. And the Ark is triumphantly brought into the city. And as it is, David, King David, is dancing before the Ark. He's rejoicing. He's so filled with praise and thanksgiving that he's dancing. And his wife, Michal, is not real pleased with the actions of David. This is quite a celebration, and this would make the Solanko parade look like a funeral procession. I mean, that's how grand this parade is, this demonstration, bringing the Ark back to the holy city. By this time, the Israelite people had been without the Ark of the Covenant for years, but for the last 3 months, it was with and Obed-Edom, and now David has made it official. He's bringing it back to Jerusalem. He's prepared a tent for the Ark to rest in, and this is a great celebration that's undergoing in 1 Chronicles 15. So in 1 Chronicles 16, the Ark is brought into the city. It's placed in the tent that David had prepared. And first, David began the celebration of the return of the Ark with blood sacrifices to atone for the sins of the Israelite people and to restore fellowship with God. And then David did something else. He appointed Levites to lead the people in worship, to lead them in a sort of a ceremony, a worship service of praise and thanksgiving that the Ark has been returned. And then third, David led the Jews in thanksgiving for all that God had done for them. And he did it through a psalm of thanksgiving that he had wrote. It's actually recorded for us in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And so we're going to focus on the second half of this psalm that David has written, this psalm of thanksgiving, for a message entitled, Give Thanks to the Lord, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning with verse 23. Hear now the word of the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him, strength and joy in His dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to Your holy name, that we may glory in Your praise. Thanks be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Wow, you get a sense of how overwhelmed David was with praise and thanksgiving that he wrote this psalm, challenging the people, encouraging the people, let's worship. Let's celebrate this good news that the Ark is back with the people of God. I've titled this message, Give Thanks to the Lord, and that appears in this psalm a couple times, in verse 34, for example. And that phrase, give thanks to the Lord, actually appears 44 times in Scripture. 44 times in Scripture you'll find the phrase, give thanks to the Lord. And most of those times, or many of those times, David is the one who says that. So let's unpack this phrase in this psalm for our Thanksgiving message this morning. And the first point we want to make is this, that Thanksgiving is essential. It is essential for our spiritual life. Thanksgiving is essential for our spiritual life. When David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, the first thing he did was appoint the Levites to make petition, to give thanks and to praise the Lord. And to give momentum to this goal, he writes then his own psalm of praise and thanksgiving and leads the people in it. He gives it to his worship leader, Asaph. There are not many songs that are repeated in the Bible, but this one is repeated. Psalm 96 repeats the same words we find in this psalm that David has written in 1 Chronicles 16. Thanksgiving is essential. Essential meaning it's necessary for the existence of something. Thanksgiving is essential to the life of our spirit. Because a spirit without thankfulness is a dead spirit. If you feel down or if you're not been very grateful or appreciative, maybe it's because your spirit is struggling. It's not in a right relationship with someone or, more importantly, with the Lord. Your body can get lifeless when it doesn't have enough potassium, and your spirit gets lifeless when we lack gratitude. Our spirit gets lifeless when we're ungrateful, we're not being thankful nearly enough. And so when you feel like we can do nothing, it's because perhaps we have pulled the plug on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're trying to operate on our own power. But when we're plugged in and we're truly worshiping the Lord and we're tapping into the power that Christ gives us to live a holy life, we can then, as Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is Thanksgiving power. That is the essential of our spiritual life. Thanksgiving is so vital, a vital ingredient to our life of faith. In David's psalm of thanksgiving, we see how essential thanksgiving is. He says in verses 31 and 32 that all of nature is giving God thanks. Let the heavens rejoice, he says. Let the earth be glad. He talks of the seas resounding in praise and the trees of the forest singing. Thanksgiving is vital to our life this side of heaven. It fuels our spirit and it continues to keep us on the right path. You may recall the story in the Old Testament where the spies were sent into the Promised Land. I think it was a Sunday school lesson not too long ago. And the spies were sent in, and most of the spies came back and said, you know what, the people in that land are too big, they're too powerful. There's no way that we can overcome them. But two of those spies, Caleb and Joshua, said, no, we have God on our side. We can indeed do this. Actually, God will do this for us, if we believe, if we trust. Two different perspectives. One, a sort of pessimistic, negative approach to life. The other, a grateful, thankful approach to life. Unfortunately, though, the people decided to go with the 10 who said, you know what? They're too big. There's no way we can defeat them. And as a result, the people of Israel wandered in the wilderness for generations. But Caleb and Joshua, they were able to persevere because they were optimistic, thankful people. And they were able to visit or end up in living in the Promised Land. You see, friends, when we're thankful people, when our spirit is being fueled by our gratitude and our thanksgiving, you know what? We begin to see what God can do. We begin to trust God even more. We begin to see Him for the impossible and believe, yes, God can do this. I remember the story in the New Testament of the Pharisee. Remember the Pharisee who stood in the temple saying, I thank God that I am not as other men. That's not thanksgiving. That's someone who has an eye problem, who says, you know what, I'm not like so-and-so. I'm not like that person. I don't do this. I don't do that. That's being judgmental. That's being critical. That's not being thankful. That's being negative. If you look to yourself and look to your own strength, you'll soon lose the optimism that we get when we focus in on God and render to Him true thanksgiving. You see, friends, God gets greater and greater as we get more thankful. That is why thankfulness is so vital to our Christian life, is that God gets greater and greater when we get more and more thankful. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a wilderness life, you know, in fear of the giants that are all around us. I want to live in the confident faith that God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And true thanksgiving helps us to channel that efforts, that faith, that trust in the Lord, that He indeed will do immeasurably more. There's a second point we want to share today, and that comes through, I think, in this Psalm of Thanksgiving, and that is that thanksgiving is verbal. Thanksgiving is verbal. You know, it's not real helpful that you're thankful in your heart. You know, that's not real helpful. Or I'm thankful in my thoughts and mind. Thanksgiving is verbal. Thanksgiving needs to be shared, needs to be spoken. There has to be words behind it. And for the people of God, or people of Israel back in that day, David knew that. That's why he said, we got to worship. We got to verbalize our praise and our thanksgiving to God. It's not enough for us to say, hey, this is great. The ark is back in the city of Israel, or city of Jerusalem. It's in the tent. It's back with us. That's good. I'm going to go home. I'll be thankful at home. No, we got to verbalize what God has done, the good things that are happening in our lives. You cannot be over thankful. You ever know of someone who was just too thankful? No, it doesn't exist. We can't be too thankful. Can't be too thankful. Paul said, you know, in everything give thanks. We tend to get weak in this area and begin to take our blessings for granted. And so we need to get a thanksgiving recharge. And David's song of thanksgiving was designed to do just that for God's people. There is a constant reference in this song in 1 Chronicles 16 to speaking, to sharing, to getting the words out of thanksgiving. It's not enough to think about it. It's not enough to have it in our heart. We need to verbalize our praise. Listen to some of the phrases that are in there. Tell the world what you are grateful for, says David. Tell the nations about the nature and work of God in a world that makes you thankful. How often have you been praising God for the beauty of His creation? But how does it show up in your words to someone else? Yeah, I came to work today and I saw a beautiful sunrise. It just reminds me how amazing God is. Do we have those kinds of conversations? Are we verbalizing our thanksgiving? And you know what? When you have thanksgiving in your language and in your conversations with others, it begins to empower your testimony and your witness to others. The world is filled with wonders of His grace, and we are to verbalize that. Verse 23 of David's Psalm says, proclaim His salvation day after day. You know, friends, the news is never so bad. The day is never so horrible that there is not the good news that we are wonderfully saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is good news that is good every day, no matter what kind of day you've had. And that needs to be verbalized. God never ceases to work for good for those who love Him. Most of you think of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood as sort of kid stuff. But there is more to it than that. Fred Rogers was actually an ordained Presbyterian minister. And he had a special charge to minister to children and their friends through the media. His calling was to verbalize the love of God for people and to help them realize their own self-worth. Well, back in the mid-80s, Lauren Shoes, who was the cruise director on Love Boat, was making $1 million a year. She was on top of the world. But she was a loser because she had no self-esteem at all. She tried to escape her insecurity through drugs. She lost her job and her fortune because her drugs became her idol. One morning, she flipped on the TV in a state of despair. She was feeling worthless, hopeless, and there on the screen was Mr. Rogers in his red cardigan sweater singing, "I'll be your friend, will you be mine?" Well, the young actress broke down in tears and pathetically answered him out loud, "Yes, yes." And that verbalization of friendship caught her at a turning point where she could choose either life or death. And it gave her the strength to choose life. Turns out she conquered her cocaine habit, got her life back together. And Lauren would later say, "Mr. Rogers saved my life." By the power of positive verbalization of the love of God, he was able to speak to someone through the medium of television and keep them from going down a destructive path that wasn't going to end well, and to have hope. The importance of verbalizing our thanksgiving, of verbalizing our faith, cannot be underestimated. True thanksgiving is verbal. People want to hear what we are thankful for. And you know what? So does God. Wednesday night at the Roots Night, I shared the devotions before the meal, and I shared a little bit from a story in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus healed 10 lepers. He healed 10 lepers, and all of them were dramatically healed. But only one came back to verbally thank Jesus for the healing. The other 9 probably thought about it, probably were thankful in their heart, but only one came back and spoke the words of thanksgiving to Jesus. And you can hear Jesus almost disappointed. He said, "Weren't they all healed? Where are the other 9? He delighted in the thanksgiving of the one, but he missed the thanksgiving of the other 9. And so how often are we like the one? Or how often are we like the 9 who don't share our thanksgiving with God, who delights in hearing it? There's one last point we need to make this morning, and that's this. Thanksgiving is essential to our spiritual life, absolutely. It is verbal. It needs to be spoken. It needs to be shared. And it is contagious. When we are truly thankful and full of enthusiasm for what God has done for us, it begins to impact others. And we see that in this Psalm of David, as he often uses plural language. David doesn't say, "You know, I am thankful, I am grateful." He says, "We are thankful. We are grateful." David's song of thanksgiving, this is the nation of Israel's song of thanksgiving. Verse 35, he says, "Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise." David was thanking God, and it impacted others to do the same. They began to count their blessings and verbalize their own thanksgiving. One of the great Thanksgiving traditions we have in our home involves this candle. This candle was made by our oldest daughter, Molly, close to 20 years ago now. It's been a while. But every year at Thanksgiving, we have our meal together, and after the meal, we light this candle, and everybody takes and holds this candle and passes it around the table and says at least one, if not more, things that they are thankful for. And we got to the point where we put down rules like, well, you can't say family and house and those kinds of things. You got to come up with something a little more unique or original. But here's the thing, what's so good about this tradition of lighting this candle and seeing family members share around the table is that I get to be thankful then for what they have shared. I get to enjoy their praise, their thanksgiving. And things that I wouldn't think come to mind, come to their mind. Things they're thankful for. We had Thanksgiving yesterday at our house, and for the first time in many years, I was able to have my mother there. And she participated in this tradition as we passed the candle around the table. And she shared things that she was thankful for as well. When that happens, we begin to see this idea of thanksgiving become contagious and spread to other people. Thanksgiving is essential. It is verbal, and it impacts others to be more thankful. So let me ask, do you have someone in your life who's a little bit cranky? You know, maybe not the most thankful person in the world? Let me challenge you to be more thankful with them. Be more appreciative with them. Because the more you are appreciative, the more you express gratitude, it will begin to catch on to them. They'll understand that it's important to be thankful. Because I think thanksgiving is as much caught as it is taught. It's as much caught as it is taught. We begin to see it in others. We begin to experience through other people. And it makes us be more thankful. When we see it, when we hear it, begin to embrace it ourselves. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let me give you a couple takeaways from the message this morning. First of all, make every day Thanksgiving. Every day Thanksgiving. We have a holiday called Thanksgiving. It's 3 or 4 days away. But for believers in Jesus Christ, every day is Thanksgiving. And I'm going to challenge you to start having a put together a Thanksgiving journal and write down something every day that you are thankful for, but only write it down if you have expressed it as a praise to someone else. Start a Thanksgiving journal. Write down something you're thankful for and how you mentioned it to someone else that day. Make every day Thanksgiving. Number two, allow your expressions of thanksgiving to reflect your faith in the Lord. You see, friends, when we are thankful, when our lives are filled with gratitude to what God has done for us and what others have done for us, it empowers our witness to the world. It makes our faith more relatable. It draws people to the Lord rather than repels people from the Lord. Your testimony of faith is far more effective when it's tempered with thanksgiving. And finally, thanksgiving should be evident in how we live. It should be evident in how we live, because true thanksgiving is not just in the spoken words, it's in how we live out our lives. That the words are backed by actions that express thanksgiving as well. Because let's face it, friends, thanksgiving is really thanks living. And people will know if you are truly thankful as much by your actions as by your words. So let's back up our words of thanksgiving with actions that reflect true thanksgiving. In our biblical text today, David was overwhelmed with thanksgiving as he brought to Jerusalem the Ark of the Covenant. His psalm written for that occasion just oozes. It oozes with calls for thanksgiving and praise to God. A few chapters later, in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 13, it says, "Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." May that be our heart's desire, that we would praise God's glorious name, not just today, not just this week, not just on Thursday, but every day. Because every day is a day of thanksgiving. I want to close with one more story. This is one of the best examples of thanksgiving being verbalized by someone that I've ever heard. And it's a letter that was written by a 28-year-old woman who was dying of leukemia. And she wrote this letter to Ron Davis, who was a leader of a Bible study for the Minnesota Vikings. And here is a portion of her letter. She writes, "Many people have asked me if I feel any bitterness about my long illness and imminent death at a young age. No, I feel no bitterness or anger. Many people would demand to know why me, but I can't but help but ask, why not me? My life has been permeated by a faith in the resurrected Christ. He has been my purpose in life, and He has been my peace in death. So mourn for those I leave behind, but don't mourn for me. I'm not afraid to die. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just some doctrine to me, it's my reality. I've settled the matter of my own death, and that sets me free to truly live." How's that for verbalizing thanksgiving? Someone who's dying of a terminal illness can declare their thanksgiving to Jesus Christ and His resurrection. She has a grateful heart. She's rejoicing in God's goodness, even though she is dying of a dreaded disease. You see, friends, thanksgiving is a paradox. The more we give it, the more we have of it to give. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Friends, let us be a church that is thankful, not just today, not just this week or this Thursday. Let us be a church that is thankful every day, and to give God the praise, the glory, and the honor. To the praise of His glory, amen, so be it, amen. Let's pray. Father, we are indeed a grateful people this morning. We're grateful because You call us to be thankful. It's essential to our life, our spiritual life. It's important for us to put into words our praise and our thanksgiving. And we recognize that it is powerful. It affects others, it impacts others, and it impacts our witness to the world. Thank You for David and his example in 1 Chronicles 16 and his call to give thanks to the Lord. And so, Father, as we go about this week, might we give thanks to the Lord each day. And might we back those words of thanksgiving with actions that demonstrate that we are truly grateful, thankful people for the gift of Jesus Christ to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.